when we start talking about the idea of Jesus as God, and when we start trying to figure out one God and Father and Son and Spirit, there are more questions that we think of than we have answers for. And we're going to have to leave it that way to some extent. There are various things that we can come up with as illustrations of the concept. Dad mentioned the triple point of water. Is that what you call it the other day? Sometimes people like to use the idea of an egg, and they'll talk about, well, there's an egg. It's one egg, but there's a shell, and there's a yolk, and there's the white. Okay, that's an illustration, but illustrations never are exactly like what they illustrate. If they were exactly like what they illustrate, then they'd be the thing they illustrate. And an egg is not a perfect illustration. In Colossians, the second chapter, it talks about the fullness of, your Bible may say Godhead, and when you think Godhead, you think Trinity, and that's not what the word means there. It means deity, Godhood, Godness, the fullness of Godness, the fullness of Godhood, the fullness of deity dwelt in Christ bodily. And it's interesting that he doesn't just leave it at dwelt in Christ, because then you might think, well, there's a sense in which God dwells in us, but he says dwelt in Christ bodily. It's really a response to the Gnostic idea that you couldn't have God in the flesh. But Paul says the fullness of what is God, the fullness of deity, was in Christ. That doesn't mean that the Father was walking around in that body, but the essence of God, everything that is God. When you take that egg, you can say there's an eggshell, there's an egg white, an egg yolk, but the fullness of the egg is not in the shell. If all you have is the shell, you don't have the fullness of the egg. So it's not a perfect illustration, because the fullness of deity, the fullness of Godhood, was in Christ. And that's a remarkable thing to think about in the flesh. But that's what we saw in our previous study in just a few minutes ago. But it does raise some questions, and the fact is, we should not expect to be able to understand it, because we are creatures. If you have an ant farm, your ants cannot understand you. If you have a cat, your cat understands some things about you, but your cat cannot fully comprehend you. If you have a dog, that's probably as close as it comes, but the dog cannot fully comprehend you. We are creatures of an eternal being. It's not surprising that we cannot fully understand it. We take what we're told. We put our trust in the one who tells us. We look at what's said that is obvious, what is clear and obvious, and the things that aren't so obvious and we can't understand, we bide our time until we see him as he is. But what I want to talk with you about is the obvious that some people saw who didn't end up being servants of Jesus Christ, and then people who should have been better prepared didn't see the obvious. So I want to talk with you just briefly about the reaction of Pilate and the centurion and the soldiers that stood about when Jesus was crucified, and the leaders of the Jews. John chapter 19 is where we're going to go first. Jesus has been brought before Pilate. And apparently prior to this time, Pilate's wife has already warned him, don't have anything to do with that man. I've had suffered terrible things on account of him in a dream that I had. And Pilate's a political man, and he's trying to figure out what to do with Jesus here. He doesn't see any real good reason to crucify him, but he's being pressured to do so by the Jews, and he doesn't really like that. But we come to John, the 19th chapter. And in verse 7, the Jews said to him, after Pilate said, take him yourselves, crucify him, for I find no crime in him. The Jews answered and said, we have a law, and by that law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. When Pilate therefore heard this saying, he was the more afraid. And he entered into the praetorium again and said to Jesus, where are you from? Now, he's already understood that he's from Galilee. He's not asking, which village are you from? He's, in his mind, thinking about what the Jews have said, He made himself the Son of God. And Jesus has already talked about his kingdom not being of this world and that sort of thing. And now Pilate, whoa, he goes back in. Where are you from? And Jesus answers him, gave him no answer. And Pilate therefore says to him, do you not speak to me? Do you not know that I have power to release you and crucify you? He's trying to a power play here. I'm an authority. You've got to tell me where you're from. But what he apparently realizes is that Jesus may have more authority because he's afraid. That's the thing that interests me. It says he was afraid. So while Pilate doesn't become a believer, there was enough there that Pilate could get a hold of him to make him think, this guy may be more than just some guy. And then, of course, Jesus does end up being crucified. In Matthew, the 27th chapter, after he has died, we have this account. Matthew, the 27th chapter, and I'm going to start reading in verse 54. Now the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus, when they saw the earthquake and the things that were done, feared exceedingly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Now, I said these people didn't become believers. Maybe some of these did. We don't really know. But it was obvious to them. There had been 3 hours of darkness. There had been all of the signs leading up to Jesus' crucifixion. And then the earthquake. He's probably not aware of the temple veil being rent. But what he saw led him to the conclusion, truly, this was the Son of God. But then let's go back to John, the 19th chapter. We have the Jews who had centuries of preparation for this moment. The Jews who had all of the prophecies and were familiar with all of the prophecies pointing to the Christ. And while the common people among the Jews, many of them were enamored of Jesus, the leaders weren't. And remember what we read in John, the 19th chapter, in verse 7, we have a law. And by that law, he ought to die because he made himself the Son of God. They missed the obvious. The people who should have seen didn't see. Jesus talks about that, coming into his own and his own receiving him not. You know, sometimes it's the people we are closest to that we pay the least attention to sometimes, you know. I think those of us who are husbands and wives can relate to that. I had a conversation with somebody just in the past few days talking about, you know, sometimes I pay the least attention to my wife. I don't treat my wife as well as I treat others. The Jews were the ones who should have been closest to Jesus, had the most knowledge, the most preparation, the most background. He came and spent his time among the Jews. He was a Jew. Pilate said, whoa, who are you? The centurion and those at the cross said, truly, this was the Son of God. And the leaders of the Jews were saying, he made himself the Son of God. He ought to be put to death. Today, in this community, we are probably the closest to Jesus. Let's be sure we don't end up paying the least attention to him. Let's be sure we think about the sacrifice that we're about to commemorate as we eat the Lord's Supper. And let's be affected to it, by it. Let's be affected by it, understanding that it was God who came and lived in the flesh as one of us, and not just any one of us, but as one of us who was oppressed and abused by others of us so that we could be saved. Let's eat the Lord's Supper together. You have one more song?